Well, good evening, Wichita. Welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Happy to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we just love to drive lefties crazy, you know, championing those core conservative principles that drive them batty, like, you know, limited government and individual liberty, free enterprise, you know, traditional values, the things they love to hate. Thrilled to have you with us tonight. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and Truth Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. I would love to hear from you. Just a couple of quick little programming notes. Want to remind you, starting off the special or the legislative session starting in January, thanks to our new sponsor, Eck Insurance, we will be broadcasting one Sunday a month live from Topeka. I'm really looking forward to that. We'll bring you live interviews, might even stick around on Mondays in order to bring you whatever breaking news may be coming from the Capitol. But we'll be broadcasting live from Topeka one Sunday a month starting in January, thanks to Eck Insurance. And tonight we're also announcing a new feature. This is a 60-second daily feature that'll be hosted by me. As you know, our theme song is Carry On Wayward Son, and often when I'm signing off with guests, I like to remind them to carry on the fight. So, appropriately, we're calling this the Carry On Commentary, and it will run three times a day during our regular programming, Monday through Friday. And I'll be bringing you daily thoughts and commentary on topics that are appropriate, that we think are timely, and daily updates from me three times a day, Monday through Friday, called the Carry On Commentary. So listen and look for those here on KNSS. So lots of good stuff coming. By the way, also want to thank everyone for coming out to the Sedgwick County Republican Party fundraiser we had Friday night. Great event. Got another one coming up in September, a picnic. Give you more information on that as we get further on. We've got a great plan, evening plan for you tonight. Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins is with us here in studio, and we'll talk about Tuesday's primary elections, let you know what races Republicans need to focus on heading into November. Christian Briggs, host of the Hard Asset Money Show, will tell us how Kamala Harris is being unburdened by her past as the media scrambles to rewrite her. Dan Schneider from the MRC, that's a Media Research Center's Free Speech America, will expose what Google has been doing in trying to interfere with the 2024 election. And John Luth from Americans for Prosperity will be with us to talk about how Kansas Gas is asking the KCC for a huge rate increase and how this is really just a back-end tax increase for ratepayers. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. As I mentioned, and as I'm sure you're aware, we didn't have the best turnout, but hopefully all of you turned out. But we had our primary on Tuesday. And let me first say congratulations to all of this week's Republican primary winners. You know, during this primary cycle, we may have supported or worked actively for opposing candidates, and that's how the system works. That's democracy. But now is the time that we have to unite as Republicans heading into the general election. That there's no denying that primaries can be contentious, but there is so much to be done. And as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. And I, for one, am ready to get together to work to deliver a victory for Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. And I know this primary season was intense for some. We had our share of spirited debates and heated arguments and even some bruised egos. But each candidate had their supporters and each supporter had their reasons for backing their chosen candidate. Again, that's how democracy works. A robust exchange of ideas and visions for our future, something the Democrat Party has abandoned lately. But today, it's time for a shift in focus. Now it's time to set aside those differences and come together as one united front. Had we done this years ago, Laura Kelly would never have been elected in the first place. Had we done it 3.5 years ago, she wouldn't have been reelected. Because let's be clear, the real opponent isn't each other. The real adversary is the Democrat agenda that threatens to undo everything we stand for. I want to emphasize this point. Our unity is not just a feel-good slogan. It's a strategic necessity. We've heard the phrase, united we stand, divided we fall, and it holds true now more than ever because our shared principles, our party platform, and our commitment to conservative values are what bind us together. And we cannot afford to let our differences weaken our resolve or distract us from our ultimate goal, which is beating Democrats. As Ronald Reagan wisely said, we may be heading for a time when the last man standing is not the strongest or the fastest, but the most determined. And folks, our determination must be directed at a singular goal, defeating the Democrats in November and advancing our conservative agenda. And look at the stakes. They're incredibly high. We're talking about issues that impact every American's daily life, from economic policies that affect our jobs and livelihoods to the preservation of our freedoms and traditional values. We're talking about the future of our country, and there's no room for complacency. Our candidates, including Donald Trump and our Kansas GOP candidates, need our full support. They need every volunteer, every donor, every door knocker, every phone caller, every car can drive or walk in a parade, and every voter to rally behind them. The path to victory is paved with our collective effort, and we must ensure that every person who shares our values is engaged and energized for this fight. Think about the impact we can make when we work together. Our core conservative principles, you know, I mentioned them earlier, limited government and individual liberty, strong national defense, they're not just talking points. They're the foundation of a prosperous and secure country. Our party platform is a blueprint for that future. It's time we started building with that blueprint. Compare it to the opposition. The Democrats have shown us time and time again what happens when their policies take hold. Higher taxes, more regulation, decreasing the value of the family, and a government that oversteps its bounds. We cannot let this vision of America become our reality. We have a choice. It's a stark choice. It's a clear one. And we must unite and push forward with determination and resolve. So let's put aside any residual frustration or rivalry from the primaries. Let's focus on what truly matters, ensuring that our candidates, Republican candidates, win, that our values prevail, and that we put a stop to the Democrat agenda that is out of touch with the needs and desires of the American people. Remember what Abraham Lincoln once said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So let's heed that wisdom and ensure that we stand strong together. Fellow Republicans, the future of our country depends on it. I'm ready to get to work, and I know you are too. Together, we will achieve victory in November. Americans have been subjected to one of the most blatant and obvious brainwashing campaigns in modern history this cycle. Utilizing the power of social media platforms and mass media outlets, the left-wing establishment media is rediscovering Kamala Harris as they attempt to burnish a politician who's never won a significant presidential delegate to the Democrat Party convention. Literally, never won. Let's keep in mind, she dropped out of her sole nationwide presidential campaign before a single vote was even cast. With us now to expose how the media and the Democrat Party are trying to rewrite Kamala Harris's political story is Christian Briggs. He is host of the Hard Asset Money Show. Christian, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor to be here.
Christian, you know, it is kind of amusing to watch, if it wasn't so dangerous, but the same media that so proudly proclaimed Harris, you know, was the border czar when they thought she was actually going to accomplish something, for example, then you had the total and utter failure of the Biden policies, are now erasing the fact that she was a border czar and are blaming conservative outlets for misinformation.
Yeah, you make a really good point. So let's talk about that. We have a person, an individual, that had the lowest popularity numbers in history. You made a real good point. No delegates have ever cast a vote for her. She's never been popular. In fact, she's been the most unpopular vice president so far, at least in modern history that I know of, that I can look back. And what's interesting is she's gone from the worst vice president with the least amount of popularity, we'll call it just basic likes, if you will, to make it very simple, to now becoming the most popular vice president or individual candidate in what appears to be the Ronald Reagan moment.
Right.
I made a point about this. How do you take somebody who's at the very bottom of the totem pole and within just literally 4 to 6 weeks recast them as the single most popular candidate since Ronald Reagan? And that is exactly what they've been doing. It's called propaganda, prop up the candidate, and that's exactly what they're doing. And I do believe it's going to continue for some more weeks yet to come.
Well, they can't replace her. Now they're stuck with her. I mean, they were able to dump Joe, but you're right, and that is what they're doing. I saw, I don't know how many folks have seen it on X lately, but they've, you know, there were photos of her and Waltz coming off of Air Force Two with this massive crowd of quote-unquote supporters. But the problem is they used AI to deepfake and add in the supporters into the foreground of the photo. But you could see in the imagery, in the stainless steel, I guess, or whatever it is of the underbelly of the plane, you could see there was no reflection of the crowd. So you could tell that they had actually photoshopped the crowd in. This is what they're doing. The left is so desperate to paint Harris as popular, they're adding deep fake crowds to her rallies and her plane arrivals.
Yeah, so I saw that same thing. What you have to remember is, in all of the way in which politics work, and we've seen this many, many times with Obama, fast forward all the way here, is that when they start to use that type of material, like you just said, an AI Photoshop, that's desperation. Desperation creates a desperate things. And these things of which that we're talking to today is a model in which the idea, if we can get people to believe her popularity is this, then the reality becomes greater than the perception.
Right.
And that's what they're given. Now, I don't know where these numbers are coming from, but I can try to break it down for you in a simple logic. One, we do know that she's running on a freedom, okay? Free to choose, free to universal basic income, free healthcare for illegals, free college tuition. So when you start to do these things, and this is what I've been telling some of the close people around Trump, as I've told those people, tell the president that you're going to have to maybe make some small to significant changes in different ways to be able to combat what the Democrats are now running on, because there's no other play to play. Think about it. What else do they have to offer the American public? They've already offered inflation. They've offered low wage growth and now diminishing wage growth. I mean, detrimental things that people don't get. So they've had to flip the narrative, flip the offering cup, and say, oh, no, we're the party of freedom.
Right.
And so they're running on this. And so it is a challenge. It's not impossible. But when your competitor puts out the same product as you, but they don't charge for it, and you do, now you're going to have to change your entire game. The game is quickly changing to the word free and freedom.
Well, and that's the key. They talk about free, but we all know somebody's going to end up paying for it. And the left is desperate to paint her, as I saw a Reuters article today, where they referred to her as well-known as a centrist Democrat. And I'm sitting here thinking, what? I mean, if you look at her record, she wants to ban private health insurance. She's been on the record wanting to ban fossil fuel production, wants to ban guns. She's, as you said, she wants to, you know, radical on abortion, defund the police, taxpayer-funded health care for illegals. She's, you know, decriminalizing border crossings. She's never taken a moderate or centrist position on any issue, and yet that's the way they're going to try and pitch her as this, you know, centrist moderate, because they desperately need independence or they can't win.
You're right, and they're going after that libertarian. They're going after the independent. in some states, you've got it by the third, and third registered voters from Libertarian slash Independents to Democrats and Republicans. So you're right. They're going after even a further niche to run on free stuff, Bernie Sanders model, which, by the way, Bernie Sanders was wildly popular in 16. Obviously, he had to cave into the Hillary nomination. He was very popular throughout 20 coming into the Biden run. And what's interesting is she's taken the very best of what is popular, kind of putting it together in her word salad, throwing it out there, regurgitating it now as a new Democratic reform measures, saying, no, we're going to give you all these things for free. These things do cost money. That's what Trump has to say, is that, look, we can offer things like this, but there's no such thing as free. Taxes would have to go up considerably. And by the way, she did, remember a few weeks ago on The View, when she was first put into the position of being the nominee after Biden had stepped aside, even on that View show a few days later, she even said, oh, I believe in 70 to 80% tax rates.
Right.
I believe that you can have wealth taxes. You can have all these things. Well, she has to talk like that because that's what her base wants. Tax the rich, tax success, tax anything you can, because entitlements are going to go up. Inflation will go up. And that's another thing that my company and I were running some models on. If she was, in theory, to get all the things in which she wants to pass through Congress, which would be challenging, but let's say she did, we would have inflation that would be record-setting. Because the amount of money to fund these entitlement programs, healthcare alone would be another $1.5 to $2 trillion a year if you take private insurance and you make a government subsidized or a complete government takeover of healthcare. You're talking about numbers that would horrifically destroy the economy. It would put us into a default of our debt because there wouldn't be enough tax revenue. Because we all know when you raise taxes, revenues go down. They don't go up, they go down.
Yeah.
80% tax rates, it would destroy the economy.
Christian, we're talking to Christian Briggs, host of the Hard Asset Money Show. Christian, I know I'm coming up on my bottom of the hour break. The big question then is, and I saw a recent article that you wrote on this, do you think she can, because, you know, the polling right now is so all over the place. You know, I've seen recent polls that show they're tied. I've seen them within the margin of error. I actually saw one that showed her up by 12 points, which I think is bogus. The big question is, do you think Kamala Harris can win in November?
There's two things that you have to look at, okay? The word free is a very powerful word.
Oh, yeah.
You can agree on that. Okay. The second one is, when she comes out there, there are people that want to be a part and say they were a part of voting for the first female president.
Yep.
First woman president. And those are two powerful things. We can overcome those. It's not that it's bad whether it's a male or female as a president. Nothing wrong with that. As long as they're qualified and they truly represent what they say they represent. You said earlier that they're trying to make her a moderate centrist. She's so far left, she makes Obama looked like a conservative. People need to realize that, because that was a great point that you made. She's as far left as anybody. In fact, if you look at what Elon Musk said last week in a comment on X, he said she's literally a communist.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very radical. We just have to make sure that we identify her there and we expose her. And I don't know. Maybe Trump's solution is to just identify as a female, then he can get those votes too. Christian, you're the host of the Hard Asset Money Show. If folks want to connect with you or catch an episode, where can they find you?
We're on Apple and YouTube, of course. Hard Asset Money Show. We've been around now for about 3 years, so anybody can connect with us on that. And I appreciate being on your show. It's a fabulous show. And remember, when she starts to talk, and there'll be a point where she's going to have to answer some hard questions.
You would think.
That is the time when, and it's got to be sooner than later, that's the time when I think Trump's going to go in there and be able to challenge the things she says that are going to be free and make what she's saying illogical. It's not common sense. You can't have everything for free. It just doesn't work.
Amazing how that works. Christian, thank you again for joining us, my friend. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real honor and a real pleasure myself.
Thanks, my friend. Carry on the fight. We're still trying to get Dan from the MRC on, but since I've got him here, I'll take the opportunity to reach out and touch someone. Sitting in the studio with us is my dear friend, my old Pawn Stars buddy, Dan Hawkins, former the Speaker of the Kansas House. So, Dan, thank you for joining us.
John, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, we love having you. And, you know, as I mentioned in the monologue, the primaries are over. It's definitely now an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation. Let's talk a little bit about primary results. Is it where, you know, did you get the results you were hoping for by and large? Were there any surprises? And of course, there was one big celebration, but we'll get to that one.
Yeah, so first off, I would like to commend you on your monologue because
thank you.
We do have some folks out there that are kind of holding out, maybe not wanting to move on to the general side, still kind of holding on to some of the problems in the in primaries. You know, some primaries really are difficult.
Oh, yeah, trust me.
And
I've been on sides in primaries.
We have. But, you know, I've always said, you know, once the primary's over, get over it. Let's move on. We all got to win. We got to make sure our Republicans win. We did have a great night Tuesday night. I was absolutely phenomenally surprised at a couple of things. I did not think Bob Fee would probably lose in Hutch, but he did.
I was a little surprised at that one too.
And then we had some really good things that happened. In the House, and of course I paid attention to the House and the Senate. But let's talk about the House first. We had really everybody win except for we lost one incumbent, and that was Jeff Underhill up in Junction City. I do think that his opponent is going to be a very good guy. I've talked with him. He's a conservative. He's a person I really am kind of looking forward to working with. He's a builder. He's a home builder. And so he's a businessman. He understands it. He gets it. So I think he's going to do very, very well. We did have one person in Johnson County that we thought would win that didn't. And then, of course, we had one over in the east of Manhattan that didn't win. Pardon me. But overall, we did very, very well. But then on the Senate side, we had a great surprise. Actually, not a surprise.
Yeah, that one, and by the way, we're talking with Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. I would have loved to have been in the Dennis Pyle watch party because not only did he lose, he came lost. In third.
He lost big, but here's the kicker on that. That was a three-way race. And all night long, Representative John Epley was leading it.
Yep, and you and I both served with John. And John's a sweet guy.
He's a nice guy, pretty moderate. Craig Bowser was really the conservative in the race. And when I think it was Jefferson County or Jackson County, whichever one of the – it may have been Jackson County. But anyway, when that last county came in, it put him over the top, and he won. And so we were ecstatic about that. Couldn't really get much better. We did have some races out there that we hadn't really vetted out because it was kind of out there. There was two unknowns running. A guy by the name of Rick James out in Trevor Jacobs' current seat.
Sure, yeah, I remember Trevor.
Rick James won. I've talked to him. I'm going to meet with him tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about him. He's like a 33-year Marine veteran.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. I think he's going to do well. So really, I kind of think our primary night went very, very well, and now we're ready to move on and see where we end up here in the general.
So let's talk a little bit about that because, you know, she's when I say she, I'm talking about Lion Laura, your good friend on the second floor up there.
Yeah.
She has been touting, you know, she's got, what, $2 million plus in a fund in her PAC.
But she doesn't. We found out that she actually has $900,000.
Oh, wow.
She did not raise all the money that they were touting that they were going to raise.
So everybody was, I mean, all the rumors and all the conjecture was $2 million. So where'd the rest of it go?
Yeah, it just didn't come in. So now whether they held some back, that's possible. I don't know. But at the filing deadline, she only had 900 some thousand, which really changes the calculation a lot because we're right there too.
So do you think more will come in, or do you think that Democrats are realizing that they need to spend money in other states where they have a bigger chance?
Well, I'm hoping that's the case. We'll see. We'll see if they have a lot more. I don't think that it's going to end up the way the governor thinks it is. Governor Kelly, she's really good at taking her own people out, which that was another thing that came out of
Marvin Robinson.
Yeah, she took out Marvin Robinson and Vic Miller.
Oh, yeah, that was a lovely
scene. Oh, it was just awesome.
Poor Vic.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. he's our minority leader in the House, and that was a great night.
Since you brought up Vic, I've heard a rumor about Vic. The rumor being that the gal who ran for his seat, the conjecture is that he's got a deal with her, that once she gets elected, wins, she will then resign so that he can take the seat. Have you heard that rumor?
I've heard that rumor too, John, but I really kind of discount that. When a person goes out and works that hard, and she worked hard, she was out there knocking doors all the time, and she won big. I find it hard to believe that she will give that seat up when she's worked so hard to win.
And I also think even the Kansas press, which is all slated towards the Democrats, even they would attack them for that move.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, the governor's demonized Vic so much that the press is against him too. I mean, Vic's really kind of been damaged by the governor, which is interesting. Because she's the one that really kind of installed him as a minority leader.
Yeah.
She twisted arms in the Democrat caucus to get him elected.
So now, back when last time I had you on the show, we talked about the need for the supermajorities in both chambers.
Oh, yes.
We don't want to be too confident, but because we have to get everybody out. We've got to get turnout, because turnout absolutely sucked in the primary.
It did.
So people have to get out and vote. But do you feel like you're in a good position to at least hold your House and your Senate majorities?
I really do, John. I actually think it's going to be a whole lot different than what some folks think it's going to be. Now, our tough place is, of course, Johnson County. Here in Sedgwick County, Sandy Pickert's probably our number one seat to really work on and make sure that we win. She's going to have a young Democrat running against her. We was really hoping Chuck Schmidt would win that one, because that would be an easier one to win. But so we're going to have to get out there and work hard, and we will. We'll have a ton of people working in that
race. I know we've been knocking for AFP, and that's one of the areas that they've had us knocking.
And of course, I also look at Cindy Howerton. That's a race we're going to have to watch. And
Susan Estes, they're going after her. Christy Williams, I know.
Williams had a big night.
She kind
of blew that guy out of the water.
In Hutch, we have Kyler Sweeley, who has an opportunity to take out Probst, who is, you know, a Democrat that really should not be representing what really is a Republican.
And that's one where we kind of got to get the GOP to coalesce around their nominee. Right now I'm hearing lots of growling.
People that just don't like Kyler for whatever reason.
They
wanted their guy and they didn't get their guy. See, and that's kind of what I was hoping, the message I was hoping to deliver in the monologue. And, you know, we've had some people who were, you know, upset about primaries here in Sedgwick County. Same thing in Moreno County. And I'm sorry, but now is the time. You got to put that stuff aside. Because if we don't, then we'll have the same thing that happened with Kobach and Schmidt and Laura Kelly's race. And the last thing we can afford is to give up an opportunity to take a Democrat seat away from them.
No, and that's right for us to pick that up, actually. That during the redistricting, it became just a little bit more Republican. So we should win that, and if we don't, that'll be a sad state of affairs.
Dan, you mind sticking around through the break?
Sure.
Because I want to talk to you about some RHCC stuff that you've got coming up. And there are actually a couple of interesting things in your newsletter that I wanted to ask you about.
So I always have interesting stuff.
You do. You do. With us still is the Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. Dan, so I get your newsletter. By the way, if folks want it, they can get information, sign up for it at danhawkinskansas.com. But you had a couple of interesting little articles and whatnot in there, one of which I found was that the KASB denied a request from the Sentinel for a copy of last week's August 8th agenda It was a description of the issues to be discussed related to their Title IX workshop.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, since it's already happened, I don't know if they ever complied, but they had a Title IX workshop. And let's keep in mind, folks, that you know there was a court order, a federal court order, placing on hold the implementation of any new Department of Education rules in Kansas, and yet they went ahead and held their meeting. Do we know what they did or what they discussed?
No, we don't. And you know, we try to keep track of that and call them out when we can. You know, KESB is really an institution that I personally think they are part of, if not the problem with our education system in Kansas.
And for folks who don't, that's the Kansas Association of School Boards. It's, and likewise for the KNEA, which is the teachers' unions.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting when you see all of the endorsements come out from KNEA? The only endorsements on the Republican side would probably be Mark Schreiber. Some of our more moderate folks.
The people that vote with the Democrats all the time.
Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, we don't care. We don't want their endorsement.
No, it's like the Wichita Eagle endorsement. I wouldn't want that either.
I think it's interesting when you talk about the KNEA, the lobbyist for the KNEA approached me this session and said, you know, we really kind of, you know, 60% of our membership is Republican, and we would really kind of start working with Republicans and hopefully build a relationship to where, you know, we can get some things done, because they truly don't get a whole lot done.
Well, then stop max donating to all our opponents.
Absolutely. So they say that, and then of course the election or the campaign start, and they endorse all Democrats and demonize the Republicans. So how does that work?
Right.
It doesn't work out very well.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, you know, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
And quite frankly, you know, when it comes to education, you were there back when we had massive protests by the teachers' union.
The red shirts.
Oh, yeah. The red shirts were every. I never will forget that. That was quite a weekend because we worked all that weekend, if you remember.
Yep, I remember.
The teachers on average don't all think that way. It's really the union members that really think that way. And so I try to not say too much derogatory towards teachers, because quite frankly, I think most of our teachers do a pretty good job.
No, I would agree. And the sad part is, they love to demonize. Anytime you talk about education reform or education freedom or school choice, the immediate response from the left or the media, for that matter, is you hate kids, you hate teachers. But, you know, sure. I mean, heck, my sister's a teacher. My mother was a teacher. I got teachers all throughout my family.
Yeah, we all do.
Right. And I love teachers. I wouldn't have pursued government had I not had a great government teacher when I was in high school. Teachers are not the problem here. In fact, I want more money to go to teachers. That's the issue. You've got a bloated administration. I want that money to go to the teachers.
But I really believe, we started out with the KESB, I really believe our problem is really in the leadership.
I agree.
The administration of the school districts. If you look, we had a member in the House who was from Western Kansas, who was a retired school district superintendent.
It's the one that just
he's gone.
Younger, yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
And literally, he so voted sorry. With the Democrats every vote. I think he may have had, out of all of our veto overrides that we did during the veto session, I think he voted with us once. And quite frankly, we wouldn't have got very many of those overrides without none other than Democrat Marvin Robinson.
Who the governor that just, you know, got out of, yeah.
Yeah, she targeted him and took him out and certainly took Vic out, Vic Miller. So, you know, really when you look at it, the education system, although it's broken in a lot of ways, it's not really as much broken at the teacher level.
Oh, no, yeah.
As it is at the leadership level.
Yeah, I think you're right. Dan, hold on, because we're still trying to get Dan, the other Dan, from the Media Research
Center.
You
want me to stick around?
Yeah, I want you to stick around.
Wow, I'd love to do that.
If I can't get Dan from MRC, we'll get Dan from the House. So we're up against my top of the hour break. When we get back, we will try and get Dan Schneider from the Media Research Center with us. If not, we'll upgrade and have Dan Hawkins, Speaker of the House, stick with us. Also want to remind you, we've got some other major breaking news, well, not breaking news, but some other news about the show coming up here in the next few weeks. We've got some other big guests that we'll be announcing here coming up in the next few weeks. So follow that John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X in order to get all the latest updates. So, all right, we'll see. Cross your fingers. We'll have Dan Schneider from the MRC. Otherwise, we'll upgrade. Keep Dan Hawkins with us. We're still trying to get in touch with Dan from the Media Research Center. We'll probably push that off till next week. But I have the other Dan still with me here in studio. Appreciate your willingness to stick around as long as you have, Mr. Speaker. It's nice to have that flexibility.
John, I think this may be the most I've ever been on your show at one time.
I know. Well, you're popular. What can I say? You're a popular guy. We love you.
Timing.
So I was looking again at your newsletter. And by the way, if folks want to, they can find it and subscribe to it at danhawkinskansas.com. And I got to say, Laura Kelly, by virtue of Waltz being elevated to the vice presidential candidate, Laura Kelly just got a promotion, I saw.
Yeah, she got a promotion, but I think it was kind of by default, or at least I would call it by default. I think she was the vice chair of the DGA, and of course, Waltz leaves, and
The Democratic Governors Association.
Right, and they move her up to the chair position, which I don't know that that makes a whole lot of difference. Maybe it'll keep her out of the state a little bit more, which won't be bad. Actually, the state would be better off if maybe she's on the road for the DGA.
Now what? I mean, basically, that's essentially just fundraising and rallying the troops, essentially, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're out there raising money for the different governors' races around the United States that involve Democrats. And, you know, we have a Republican Governors Association, works kind of the same way, I'm sure. So they're, you know, I would say for their members, it's probably an important thing. But does it really do anything for Kansas? Absolutely not. Does nothing for Kansas unless she talks them into giving a bunch of money to her middle-of-the-road pack, which the middle-of-the-road pack is really – should be a misnomer because she's about as far left on the road as you can get. Matter of fact, we say she's in the left ditch. But she's got this middle of the road pack that she's brought to bear against all of us. The news was that there was going to be 2 million in that middle of the road pack, and
right, that's what you said.
We find out there's only about 900,000, which is a good thing. And then she spent a whole bunch on Vic Miller and Marcy Francisco, senator in Lawrence. She also spent some on a couple other folks, of course, running ads against Marvin Robinson. Hopefully she spent a bunch so that she can't spend it against us. But she's going to really hit us hard in Johnson County. She's going to hit us hard here. Sandy Pickard, look out. There's going to be a lot of money coming from the governor's middle of the road pack.
The Kansas State Democrat Party, I mean, and partly because I think we've had some missteps at the state Republican Party, but definitely the state Democrat Party has been fairly successful turning Johnson County from, I mean, it was never red, but it was pink. It's I wouldn't call it blue, but it's certainly light shade of blue or you know, fairly purple now. I mean, you're up there a lot. I know my buddy Blake Carpenter's up there. He'll spend a month up there door knocking for candidates here later this fall. What do you think? Can we win that back? Is it?
Yeah, we can, John. There's actually four races up there. And by the way, my good friend Blake Carpenter, the Speaker Pro Tem, has been on the road all weekend. He started out early Saturday morning.
I knew he would be.
Yeah, headed southeast Kansas. He's basically made a trip clear up through Johnson County, across the state, down to Great Bend, and then back in here tonight. And his job out there is just to really meet the brand new folks, help them navigate the waters, give them a point person that they can call and talk to and ask questions of. And so he's working his heart out. And that goes along with the Johnson County situation. So we've got four races up there that we really can win. Some of them, you know, Charlotte Esau.
Yep, I know Charlotte.
You know, Charlotte's working, and I think she's going to work really hard. We can get that back. It's got an older gentleman. His name's Dennis Miller, who's a Democrat, and that won that seat last time. We want that one back. If you remember John Toppinger.
I do.
And Matt Bengesser was in that seat for a short amount of time.
Right.
We lost that one last time. We've got a phenomenal candidate in that one by the name of Lauren Bohai. We think that we can win that one. And then we have a guy by the name of Randy Ross, won the primary in that district. That's against Dan Osmond. He needs to go really, really bad. And then we've got a race against Nikki McDonnell, who's really kind of a Democrat activist. Matter of fact, she had to wipe her Facebook clean when she won that precinct election because it was so bad. That is a guy by the name of Kurt Ruff that's running against her. So we've got four races up there that we think that we can win. Now, we've got some defending to do, too. You know, that's a tough area.
Oh, it I really know. And I know Laura Kelly would love to hang Chris Croft's head on her wall.
She's going to go after Chris. She'll go after Chris. She'll go after Carl Turner, Laura Williams, Adam Turk. She'll go after all of those.
Kelly Warren in the Senate.
Kelly Warren and Mike Thompson in the Senate. Those got big, huge bullseyes on their back. So we have to work hard, and we can. I mean, we get the money. We get the folks out. You know, the thing that we have to do is we have to build an army. And we have some folks that have done that. You know, our Mike Thompson in Bonner Springs, right. Representative Mike Thompson, literally won a seat that we've never had before. And how'd he do it? He built an army of folks that are out there walking every day. And these people are volunteering. They're out there meeting people. He's got some that can't walk, so they call. He's got some that are really good at social media, so that's what they do. And he has built an army.
That's what I try and tell people because, you know, all too often I think people think, well, I can't afford to donate, so I just, you know, but I'll vote. Yeah. But there's more that you can do if
Absolutely.
You can't, because not everybody can afford to write a check. But if you can't write a check, then make phone calls. If you're not physically able to or don't want to, it's outside your comfort zone to go door knocking, even though it's great exercise.
Right.
You know, then knock doors or walk in a parade. The least you can do is put a yard sign out, if nothing Absolutely. Else, and talk to your neighbors.
You know, most people don't think about what's needed to really run an effective campaign. Most of our folks out here that vote, they're good about voting. They're troopers that go in and voting every time we have an election, but they don't realize what they could be doing to help their representative or their senator win.
The little things.
Yeah, the little things. Like, you know, we have systems now, I-360. Literally, they can, you know, whoever's running that system can give them phone numbers to call every day and people to talk to and ask them to vote for their candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, phone calls are very, so you don't have to go down to the party headquarters to do
No.
it.
No.
You could do it from home on your own phone, on your own time. It's got a script. I know I've done, Yeah. I've used I-360 to make calls. Even, you know, and I tell folks, even if it's as simple as putting out a yard sign.
Oh,
because
yeah.
if nothing else, that shows your neighbors, your friends, the people that know you, and it might prompt a conversation.
Well, in getting yard signs in actual yards instead of the
right-of-way.
Yeah,
instead of right-of-way, yes, because people get annoyed by that.
They do. People truly get – I had an email the other day from one of my constituents says, when are you guys going to change that law? You know, people get tired of seeing the right-of-way signs.
Yeah.
So let's get out there and let's fill the yards full of signs.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't want them to change that law. But
No, I don't either. But it does kind of get a little...
It gets cluttering. Well, and I think there may have been... I heard that there were some of the judge candidates this last cycle that actually probably affected their campaigns negatively because there were too many yard signs thrown in right-of-ways.
There were a lot. In fact, because really we didn't have hardly any primaries here in Sedgwick County and Wichita, we really only had one judge primary, and then we had the county commission.
Right.
Those were really the only ones you saw. And
yeah.
Boy, we saw a lot of them.
Yeah, there were a ton of judge signs.
Yeah.
Dan, I appreciate you again especially for taking as long. I mean, heck, we've had you on now for 45 minutes, and I appreciate that. It's a blessing to have you.
I feel pretty special.
Well, we're special to have you. If folks want to connect with you, obviously, like I said, the newsletter, they can sign up for that. They can connect with you at danhawkinskansas.com. Oh, one other thing I wanted to ask you. I understand, doesn't the RHCC and the Senate counterpart, don't you guys have some events coming up this fall that they can help and support?
Yes, we do. They're just now getting those set up, so I don't have dates to be able to give you.
Will you send those to me, and I will make sure to put them on the Facebook, the show's Facebook page and promote them for you online. They're fundraisers. It's a great way. If you don't know what House candidate to support, donate to the RHCC.
Absolutely.
And that's and the RHCC, trust me, they'll put your money to the best use to support the candidates that needed most.
I would like to tell your listeners, if you really want to have a hard-hitting newsletter, a newsletter that will cut through all of the junk and just give you really what you need, the Majority Record is the place to be. And
yep.
All you got to do is go to my website, danhawkinskansas.com. At the bottom of the page is a subscribe area. Just need your name and your email address, and every Friday morning at 6 o'clock, you will get that, and you'll probably have a smile on your face.
I know. I love it. It's great for me. Brother, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show as always, and carry on the fight, my friend.
Thanks, John.
It's been a pleasure having Dan in the studio. It's really a blessing to have access to our Speaker of the House like that. And you know, we've been very fortunate down here in Wichita to have great representation at our local level as well. Me in particular, Dalton Glasscock has been a real stalwart champion for those of us who are fortunate enough to have him representing us. And frankly, I'm very pleased with Lily Wu. She too has been a great conservative mayor. And we're seeing it right now. I mean, just this week, the city is starting to look at more taxes, more spending, and really the only two that are vocally opposing it are Dalton and Lily Wu. And, you know, they've had months of committees and taxpayer funded consultants and they come up with these cockamamie bait and switch plans to quote unquote lower property taxes. One of which is this asinine idea to raise sales taxes. But can we really trust that they'll actually do that, that they'll actually lower property taxes? And the sad part is we've seen this sales pitch before. And though I trust on the county side, I trust Ryan Beatty. He is a solid conservative. We know that Jim Howell has proven himself to be a solid conservative. And you know, I think when Stephanie Wise gets on there, she will be conservative. When Jeff Blubaugh gets on there, he will be conservative. But in the meantime, you know, you've got some commissioners that haven't always proven themselves to be conservative. David Dennis in particular has voted for every tax increase imaginable. And on the city council, it's the same thing. You know, I mean, heck, Brandon Johnson's already proposing raising the mills by 2 mills. All so they can keep spending. And that's the frustrating thing here. You know, they're now looking at maybe having to close parks, and which is fine if that's the thing you have to do to, you know, if you have to close a few parks to improve the others or whatever. I understand that. But really, no one is talking about the real solution here, and that is cutting spending. And look, I get it. We all want core services. We need to make sure that we're delivering the core services. But it's important to recognize that these types of tax increase proposals, they're not just abstract numbers. They impact real people. And in particular, the poor, low-income folks and those folks on fixed incomes. And these tax increases are a blatant signal that our elected officials have failed to do their one fundamental job, which is control their spending, and have instead chosen to, you know, go with the easy solution, which is raise taxes. You know, we elect you to make the tough decisions. And right now, those tough decisions should include cutting spending. And if that means that the Sedgwick County Zoo, for example, might have to put off some expansions, maybe Exploration Place has to hold a bake sale or a car wash or put off some new projects because we're no longer funding them through property taxes, well, then so be it. But right now, I'd rather see those institutions fend for themselves than put retirees out of their homes. And I fear that if they pass this sales tax to lower property tax scheme, can we trust some of these elected officials to actually do it? And honestly, I don't think we can. I just don't think we can. John from Wichita, you're on the John Whitmer Show.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to know when your three times a day was going to start and what the hours were going
to
be.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to ask. Wow, you're giving me a chance to promote myself.
That's right.
That's even better. So, it's the carry-on commentary. It's a 60-second feature that'll air at 9:30, 12:30, and 3:30. So during our prime shows, Glenn Beck, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday. So three times a day, 5 days a week, and I will have new commentary every day. And it's a great feature that we're looking forward to starting here tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Tomorrow, right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I appreciate the call, John. Yeah, it's something that we've been wanting to do. You may recall Bill O'Reilly used to do – Rush had his Rush Minutes that he would do a Rush Minute that he would kind of just a little riff that he would do. And that's sort of what we're doing here. It's just a daily commentary with some different topics that are going to be topical. If there's something going on, a breaking news story, something local, national, regional, I will probably hit that and try and bring you just a little bit of local, political, or topical subject matter that relates directly to our area. And it's just a way for us to kind of reach out and touch a little more often than once a week, which drives me crazy. I would love to be able to talk to you more than once a week. So, John, I'm looking forward to that. That starts again tomorrow. And likewise, for example, I guarantee you I will have one about this issue, and I'll probably have another one about the Wichita School District trying to raise their $450 or $450 million boondoggle tax increase as well. Speaking of tax increases, come in, we're going to take a quick break, and then John Luth from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will be with us to talk about how Kansas Gas is asking the KCC for a huge rate increase and how this is really just a back-end tax increase for ratepayers. Kansas Gas is asking the KCC for a huge rate increase. Make no mistake, this is a back-end tax increase. Bidenomics is already making energy more expensive. But a public utility should not be trying to recoup their costs on the backs of ratepayers. A public utility should not be a monopoly and a for-profit business. With us now to discuss what this rate hike could mean for Kansas ratepayers and what, if anything, you can do about it is John Luth. He is the Deputy State Director for AFP Kansas. John, thank you for joining us this evening. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Hey, no, it's my pleasure, certainly. I always love the opportunity to come on here and join and talk to your great listeners, probably some of the best listeners in Kansas, if I'm being honest.
Okay, checks in the mail. So. Shallow right, flattery, the checks in the mail, my friend. I got to look at this, and when you think about it, energy prices, one of the biggest things that hit people in the pocketbook, especially hard, especially those on retirees, folks on fixed incomes, people in the poor, lower income brackets. And data still shows that Kansas, I think, has either the second or third highest energy rates in the region. And yet Kansas Gas wants yet another rate increase.
Absolutely. It's pretty crazy to me that we are an energy producing state who is paying through the nose for our own energy. Oftentimes to ship our own energy out of the state, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Right.
You said in the intro we were going to talk about what this rate increase could mean. I was running the math a little bit earlier preparing to come on, and I'll tell you in really easy quantifiable terms what it means. It means one less family meal if you want to go out to a restaurant, or likely one less family meal if you want to go to the grocery store these days.
Yeah.
It also means something like one less day of daycare for that single mother struggling to pay her bills out there. So this is real. This is impactful besides the fact that it's also quite literally could drive some people out of house and home here.
Yeah, and when you've got to keep it in context. I mean, I know they say, well, it's only 10%. It's only a 10% increase, yada, yada, yada. But when you factor in everything else that has gone up, mortgages, the price of gasoline, property taxes. I mean, in Sedgwick County, property taxes have up anywhere from an average of 12 to 24%. You factor it all in, it's like a death by a thousand cuts. And this is yet another cut. And I think one of the things that frustrates me, John, is Kansas Gas. It's a division of Tulsa-based One Gas. In 2023, their corporate net income was $231.2 million, up from $221 million in 2022. And I don't begrudge them from being profitable. Kudos to you. I'm all for corporations making bank. I mean, that's the American dream. But they're doing just fine. And I just seem to think, gosh, is this, you know, at what point do we have to say, is this absolutely necessary for you to stay in business, or is this just a way for you to, you know, nickel and dime folks?
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad they're doing just fine. I know that the everyday Kansan is not doing just
right,
fine.
Right.
But where we should really be focused, though, as much as it's easy to jump on something like a Kansas Gas Service or Evergy, you know, they're just doing what naturally I think anyone would probably do in their situation, where they've been appointed a monopoly by the government and they're protected from pretty much all recourse against them in that way. They're going to keep driving for that. Where we need to be frustrated, the most frustrated, is we have the KCC or CURB out there claiming to protect or speak for the voice of Kansans that think it's a win to say, hey, we're going to go from a $51 million increase to a $31 million increase. Be happy and say thank you. These are supposed to be representative of the people of Kansas. Sounds to me like they're representing themselves, their bureaucracy, and then their self-appointed monopolies.
Yeah, have they ever, I mean, this would be an interesting question. You may know the answer, but have they ever said no to any increase, or has it always just been incremental and they trim it, but they still give them an increase?
So I don't want to say ever, right?
Right.
But certainly in my lifetime here, I have not seen them say no to a single increase. There's always the same song and dance of a really big number that usually gets cut about in half, and they tell us to say, thank you, please, sir, may I have another?
Yes, yeah, it reminds me of Oliver. Please, sir, may I have some more? We're talking exactly with John Luth from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. And that, you know, you make a good point there, John. It's, they are supposed to be here for advocates for ratepayers. And frankly, if I'm Evergy or Kansas Gas, I know what the what their pattern is. So if I want $25 million, why don't I just go in and ask for $50 million, and then I'm going to get what I want in the end?
Exactly. Here's the other big problem with these groups that we just said are supposed to be representing Kansans. I don't know a single person that can tell me a single person on any of these boards. How is that representative of Kansas if nobody knows who you are, nobody's ever seen you, nobody even knows how to reach out to if they're frustrated? That's not representative government at all. That is, once again, red tape, bureaucracy, and some pretty good back scratching.
No, I agree completely. The KCC is holding public hearings on Tuesday. AFP Kansas has a petition online that folks can sign if they think the KCC should not allow the $58 million rate hike. If folks want to sign that petition, what's the best way for them to do that? I mean, obviously, if they want to drive to Topeka, they can give in-person testimony. But if they want to sign the petition, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to do that is to go on our social media. It's at AFP Kansas on Twitter and Instagram, and then Americans for Prosperity Kansas on Facebook. You'll find it right on there with a really brightly colored yellow graphic that literally says the word attention on it. So feel free to click on that. Let people know. You can also go to unleashenergyks.com. So we're trying to talk to Kansans and the KCC, frankly, about really unleashing the energy potential in Kansas and stop trying to just rack up rate hikes unnecessarily off the backs of hardworking Kansans.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, you guys do these National Days of Action it's an opportunity for folks to get out. I think I've mentioned you know, the phone calling that you do every Thursday, but this is a door knocking opportunity. You guys do them every twice a month, basically. You've got another one coming up here in Wichita on the 17th. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. These are some of my favorite days. It's when you really get to feel the impact of what a true grassroots community can do. You're joining arms with neighbors and friends who are like-minded on issues, and we're going to be out this weekend, this Saturday, in the Wichita area as well as across the state, so feel free to reach out no matter where you are. Our goal is to bring it to your neighborhood, and let's have conversations about, this weekend we'll be chatting with Kansans across the state about who the meaningful and true policy champions running on the ballot this November and their local state Senate and House races are. And we're excited because there's quite a slate of true policy champions out there that come January, Kansas can have a new day with a bright, shining light on our Kansas legislature ready to lead the way.
You know, I'm glad that you guys do this, that you help, because as you know, we talked to the Speaker of the House earlier. He mentioned that there are key races that that Governor Kelly is targeting down here in Wichita. I know that one of those that you guys have been helping is Sandy Pickard and a few others, correct? Renee Erickson, you guys have helped out with her. Is that, that's kind of your focus right now, is to help these solid conservatives who've been fighting for us to make sure that they get reelected so they can keep doing that, right?
Absolutely. Our goal right now is to go out and have as many conversations as we possibly can with Kansans, to talk about these real policy champions, such as Sandy, who stood the line for her district more times than I can count on unnecessary spending increases and trying to fight to cut taxes, or so many other local legislators. You were talking right before I came on the show about all the wonderful representation you guys have, whether it's Speaker Hawkins nearby or the Senate President, Mr. Masterson, nearby. Yeah. A lot of wonderful, wonderful legislators here who are truly the tip of the spear, leading the way. We're excited to get out there and fight for those true policy champions and push back on the governor's quote-unquote middle-of-the-road pack, which the only middle-of-the-road that I think they're trying to put us all in is the middle-of-the-road, so it's a little easier for the vehicles not to have to swerve so much, because, my goodness, these candidates she's endorsing and driving are some of the most radical, radical voters in the legislature, radical left, that are just driving these top-down policies that are crushing us. Thanks to the Biden-Harris administration, thanks to the Governor Kelly administration.
Yeah, I like
and,
to.
We can put a stop to that.
I like to think of it as she likes us in the middle of the road because it makes it easier for her to run us over. Your National Day of Action coming up on Saturday the 17th here in Wichita. It's the AFP office, which is at 435 South Broadway. If folks want to get involved, it goes on all day. My wife and I will be out door knocking with AFP on Saturday. If you want to get involved, obviously, AmericansForProsperity.org or through your socials, correct?
Absolutely. Or always feel free to shoot us an email at infoks@afphq.org. We're happy to chat with you there.
John, I appreciate you as always. Carry on the fight, brother.
Thank you so much, my friend. You have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Pat, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Country, 8 shots rang out towards my president. I'm furious about the 8 shots.
Oh, yeah.
Two were critically wounded behind that went past the president. Another was killed, a fireman. And the most telling testimony is the counter sniper, his whistleblower testimony. And I've listened to it and I've read it. And he said at least 5 Secret Service agents need to be retired or fired immediately, or this will happen again. The counter sniper that was there present on that day. And who owns the building? I did the research on and followed up on a reporter. And when you hear Mr. Putin refer to American Saxon, he's referring to British intelligence. He's referring to Council of Foreign Relations. And one of the subsidiaries of the Council of Foreign Relations, his last name is Rice. He owns that building there.
Oh, yeah, and the whole thing. I mean, I've heard some of the stories about that. That whole thing is, you know, it's just they clearly, well, for lack of a better term, they screwed up. And, you don't want to fear that it's intentional, because I'm not a tinfoil hat wearing guy. But there certainly were some major screw-ups and incompetencies. I'm glad to see the director, Cheadle, resign. I think she should have been fired. I think had we had a president who was not mentally incompetent, she would have been fired. By the way, Pat, thank you for the call. I'm so glad that she is gone, but I don't think it needs to stop there. I think I'm agree with you, Pat. I think we need to have a few more heads roll over this thing. And, you know, we've had the opportunity. Remember when we talked with Dan, he talked about some of the changes. And frankly, one of the largest was voting out Dennis Pyle. We would have had significant tax reform had Dennis Pyle not sabotaged that. And to a smaller extent, Senator Olson and John Dahl helping him. But now that we've got those three all gone, that's a significant improvement. Dennis Pyle was the worst. Dennis Pyle's also, in my opinion, one of the main reasons that Laura Kelly won re-election. So having him gone is going to make a huge difference in Kansas politics. We just got to keep pressing on. But we also have to make sure that we're electing the right kinds of candidates. And that is so, so important. That's why we're doing fundraisers. That's why we get active. That's why we attend meetings. Like, for example, the weekly Pachyderm Club lunches that every Friday at the Ninth Floor Club. That's the former Petroleum Club. I mean, if you're not active, then you're not informed. I think part of the reason some of these candidates we had such low voter turnout this last primary was because some people, I don't know who these candidates are. Right. Well, that's on you. If you don't know who they are, find out, educate yourself, but certainly get out and vote. I mean, I was really appalled at the terrible voter turnout on Tuesday. That's terrible, folks. That's bad. And we can't afford to have that happen in November or we will lose. We've got to make sure that we're motivated. We've got to make sure that we're turning out. That starts at the precinct level, which is why I'm glad the Sedgwick County Republican Party is having that monthly meeting on Thursday where we're going to motivate, train, and educate the new precinct people. And then we need to appoint more. If we have openings, we need to appoint those people. And I know Deb Lucia, the chair of the party, is working to do that. And, we've just got to build that base. We have to have an army in place. And that's the key. And the army starts with you, listeners, folks who just sit back. Well, don't stop sitting. Get up off your duffs. Do something. Make a phone call. Put out a yard sign. Donate. Write a check if you can. Walk in a parade. Even every little bit helps because we need to get activated. We're not that far away from the November elections. People will be voting right after the Democrat National Convention. Advanced ballots will start going out in some states. That's how close this thing is. And trust me, the Democrats are gearing up. We on the Republican side of the aisle, on the right side of the aisle, need to be doing the exact same thing. Because if we don't, it'll come back to bite us in the posterior, trust me. I've got all the information on these events on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. If you have questions, reach out. Listen for my carry-on commentary starting tomorrow. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables. Kansas Gas is asking the KCC for a huge rate increase. Make no mistake, this is a back-end tax increase. Bidenomics is already making energy more expensive, but a public utility should not be trying to recoup their costs on the backs of ratepayers. A public utility should not be a monopoly and a for-profit business. With us now to discuss what this rate hike could mean for Kansas ratepayers and what, if anything, you can do about it is John Luth. He is the Deputy State Director for AFP Kansas. John, thank you for joining us this evening. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Hey, no, it's my pleasure, certainly. I always love the opportunity to come on here and join and talk to your great listeners, probably some of the best listeners in Kansas, if I'm being honest.
Okay, checks in the mail. So. Shallow right, flattery, the checks in the mail, my friend. I got to look at this, and when you think about it, energy prices, one of the biggest things that hit people in the pocketbook, especially hard, especially those on retirees, folks on fixed incomes, people in the poor, lower income brackets. And data still shows that Kansas, I think, has either the second or third highest energy rates in the region. And yet Kansas Gas wants yet another rate increase.
Absolutely. It's pretty crazy to me that we are an energy-producing state who is paying through the nose for our own energy, oftentimes to ship our own energy out of the state. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Right.
You know, you said in the intro we were going to talk about what this rate increase could mean. I was running the math a little bit earlier preparing to come on, and I'll tell you in really easy, quantifiable terms what it means. It means one less family meal if you want to go out to a restaurant, or likely one less family meal if you want to go to the grocery store these days.
Yeah.
It also means something like one less day of daycare for that single mother struggling to pay her bills out there. So this is real. This is impactful, besides the fact that it's also quite literally could drive some people out of house and home here.
Yeah, and when you've got to keep it in context. I mean, I know they say, well, it's only 10%. It's only a 10% increase, yada, yada, yada. But when you factor in everything else that has gone up, mortgages, price of gasoline, property taxes. I mean, in Sedgwick County, property taxes have up anywhere from an average of 12 to 24%. You factor it all in, it's like a death by a thousand cuts. And this is yet another cut. And I think one of the things that frustrates me, John, is Kansas Gas. It's a division of Tulsa-based One Gas. In 2023, their corporate net income was $231.2 million, up from $221 million in 2022. And I don't begrudge them from being profitable. Kudos to you. I'm all for corporations making bank. I mean, that's the American dream. But they're doing just fine. And I just seem to think, gosh, is this, you know, at what point do we have to say, is this absolutely necessary for you to stay in business, or is this just a way for you to, you know, nickel and dime folks?
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad they're doing just fine. I know that the everyday Kansan is not doing just
right,
fine.
Right, right.
But where we should really be focused, though, as much as it's easy to jump on something like a Kansas Gas Service or Evergy, you know, they're just doing what naturally I think anyone would probably do in their situation, where they've been appointed a monopoly by the government and they're protected from pretty much all recourse against them in that way. They're going to keep driving for that. Where we need to be frustrated, the most frustrated, is we have the KCC or CURB out there claiming to protect or speak for the voice of Kansans that think it's a win to say, hey, we're going to go from a $51 million increase to a $31 million increase. Be happy and say thank you. These are supposed to be representative of the people of Kansas. Sounds to me like they're representing themselves, their bureaucracy, and then their self-appointed monopolies.
Yeah, have they ever, I mean, this would be an interesting question. You may know the answer, but have they ever said no to any increase, or has it always just been incremental and they trim it, but they still give them an increase?
So I don't want to say ever, ever, right?
Right.
But certainly in my lifetime here, I have not seen them say no to a single increase. There's always the same song and dance of a really big number that usually gets cut about in half, and they tell us to say, thank you, please, sir, may I have another?
Yes, yeah, it reminds me of Oliver. Please, sir, may I have some more? We're talking exactly with John Luth from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. And that, you know, you make a good point there, John. It's they are supposed to be here for advocates for ratepayers. And frankly, if I'm Evergy or Kansas Gas, I know what what their pattern is. So if I want $25 million, why don't I just go in and ask for $50 million, and then I'm going to get what I want in the end?
Exactly, exactly. Here's the other big problem with these groups that we just said are supposed to be representing Kansans. I don't know a single person that can tell me a single person on any of these boards. How is that representative of Kansas if nobody knows who you are, nobody's ever seen you, nobody even knows how to reach out to if they're frustrated? That's not representative government at all. That is, once again, red tape, bureaucracy, and some pretty good back scratching.
No, I agree completely. The KCC is holding public hearings on Tuesday. AFP Kansas has a petition online that folks can sign if they think the KCC should not allow the $58 million rate hike. If folks want to sign that petition, what's the best way for them to do that? I mean, obviously, if they want to drive to Topeka, they can give in-person testimony. But if they want to sign the petition, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to do that is to go on our social media. It's at AFP Kansas on Twitter and Instagram, and then Americans for Prosperity Kansas on Facebook. You'll find it right on there with a really brightly colored yellow graphic that literally says the word attention on it. So feel free to click on that. Let people know. You can also go to unleashenergyks.com. So we're trying to talk to Kansans and the KCC, frankly, about really unleashing the energy potential in Kansas and stop trying to just rack up rate hikes unnecessarily off the backs of hardworking Kansans.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, you guys do these National Days of Action. It's an opportunity for folks to get out. I think I've mentioned the phone calling that you do every Thursday, but this is a door knocking opportunity. You guys do them every twice a month, basically. You've got another one coming up here in Wichita on the 17th. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. These are some of my favorite days. It's when you really get to feel the impact of what a true grassroots community can do. You're joining arms with neighbors and friends who are like-minded on issues, and we're going to be out this weekend, this Saturday, in the Wichita area as well as across the state, so feel free to reach out no matter where you are. Our goal is to bring it to your neighborhood, and let's have conversations about, this weekend we'll be chatting with Kansans across the state about who the meaningful and true policy champions running on the ballot this November and their local state Senate and House races are. And we're excited because there's quite a slate of true policy champions out there that come January, Kansas can have a new day with a bright, shining light on our Kansas legislature ready to lead the way.
You know, I'm glad that you guys do this, that you help, because as you know, we talked to the Speaker of the House earlier. He mentioned that there are key races that Governor Kelly is targeting down here in Wichita. I know that one of those that you guys have been helping is Sandy Pickard and a few others, correct? Renee Erickson, you guys have helped out with her. Is that's kind of your focus right now, is to help these solid conservatives who've been fighting for us to make sure that they get reelected so they can keep doing that, right?
Absolutely. Our goal right now is to go out and have as many conversations as we possibly can with Kansans to talk about these real policy champions, such as Sandy, who stood the line for her district more times than I can count on unnecessary spending increases and trying to fight to cut taxes, or so many other local legislators. You were talking right before I came on the show about all the wonderful representation you guys have, whether it's Speaker Hawkins nearby or the Senate President, Mr. Masterson, nearby. Yeah. A lot of wonderful, wonderful legislators here who are truly the tip of the spear, leading the way. We're excited to get out there and fight for those true policy champions and push back on the governor's quote unquote middle of the road pack, which the only middle of the road that I think they're trying to put us all in is the middle of the road. So it's a little easier for the vehicles not to have to swerve so much, because my goodness, these candidates she's endorsing and driving are some of the most radical voters in the legislature, radical left, that are just driving these top down policies that are crushing us. Thanks to the Biden-Harris administration, thanks to the Governor Kelly administration.
Yeah,
we can put a stop to that.
I like to think of it as she likes us in the middle of the road because it makes it easier for her to run us over. Your National Day of Action coming up on Saturday the 17th. Here in Wichita, it's the AFP office, which is at 435 South Broadway. If folks want to get involved, it goes on all day. My wife and I will be out door knocking with AFP on Saturday. If you want to get involved, obviously, AmericansForProsperity.org or through your socials, correct?
Absolutely. Or always feel free to shoot us an email at infoks@afphq.org. We're happy to chat with you there.
John, I appreciate you as always. Carry on the fight, brother.
Thank you so much, my friend. You have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Pat, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Country, 8 shots rang out towards my president. I'm furious about the 8 shots.
Oh, yeah.
Two were critically wounded behind that went past the president. Another was killed, a fireman. And the most telling testimony is the counter sniper, his whistleblower testimony. And I've listened to it and I've read it. And he said at least 5 Secret Service agents need to be retired, and and or fired immediately, or this will happen again. The counter sniper that was there present on that day. And who owns the building, I did the research on and followed up on a reporter. And when you hear Mr. Putin refer to American Saxon, he's referring to British intelligence. He's referring to Council of Foreign Relations. And one of the subsidiaries of the Council of Foreign Relations, his last name is Rice. He owns that building there.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing. I mean, I've heard some of the stories about that. That whole thing is, you know, it's just they clearly, well, for lack of a better term, they screwed up. And, you don't want to fear that it's intentional, because I'm not a tinfoil hat wearing guy. But there certainly were some major screw-ups and incompetencies. I'm glad to see the director, Cheadle, resign. I think she should have been fired. I think had we had a president who was not mentally incompetent, she would have been fired. By the way, Pat, thank you for the call. I'm so glad that she is gone, but I don't think it needs to stop there. I think I'm agree with you, Pat. I think we need to have a few more heads roll over this thing. And, you know, we've had the opportunity. Remember when we talked with Dan, he talked about some of the changes. And frankly, one of the largest was voting out Dennis Pyle. We would have had significant tax reform had Dennis Pyle not sabotaged that. And to a smaller extent, Senator Olson and John Dahl helping him. But now that we've got those three all gone, that's a significant improvement. Dennis Pyle was the worst. Dennis Pyle's also, in my opinion, one of the main reasons that Laura Kelly won re-election. So having him gone is going to make a huge difference in Kansas politics. We just got to keep pressing on. But we also have to make sure that we're electing the right kinds of candidates. And that is so important. That's why we're doing fundraisers. That's why we get active. That's why we attend meetings, like, for example, the weekly Pachyderm Club lunches that every Friday at the Ninth Floor Club. That's the former Petroleum Club. I mean, you know, if you're not active, then you're not informed. I think part of the reason some of these candidates we had such low voter turnout this last primary was because some people, I don't know who these candidates are. Right. Well, that's on you. If you don't know who they are, find out, educate yourself, but certainly get out and vote. I mean, I was really appalled at the terrible voter turnout on Tuesday. That's terrible, folks. That's bad. And we can't afford to have that happen in November or we will lose. We've got to make sure that we're motivated. We've got to make sure that we're turning out. That starts at the precinct level, which is why I'm glad the Sedgwick County Republican Party is having that monthly meeting on Thursday where we're going to motivate, train, and educate the new precinct people. And then we need to appoint more. If we have openings, we need to appoint those people. And I know Deb Lucia, the chair of the party, is working to do that. And, you know, we've just got to build that base. We have to have an army in place. And that's the key. And the army starts with you, listeners. Folks who just sit back. Well, don't stop sitting. Get up off your duffs. Do something. Make a phone call. Put out a yard sign. Donate. Write a check if you can. Walk in a parade. Even every little bit helps, because we need to get activated. We're not that far away from the November elections. We're going to be people will be voting right after the Democrat National Convention. Advanced ballots will start going out in some states. That's how close this thing is. And trust me, the Democrats are gearing up. We on the Republican side of the aisle, on the right side of the aisle, need to be doing the exact same thing. Because if we don't, it'll come back to bite us in the posterior. Trust me. I've got all the information on these events on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. If you have questions, reach out. Listen for my Carry On commentary starting tomorrow. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.